welcome to another episode of the Cake and Eat It podcast. My name is Jody Seeley, along with Fauna Buse. And I just feel like every time we introduce the show, Fauna, I kind of think more about cake than I should. I don't know if we thought about that when we named our show.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's like reinforces it every time.
Cake. Yeah. Cake and eat it. Delicious.
We definitely have some sweet cake today.
We do. We have the cakiest cake. I don't know if that's a thing or if it even sounds like a compliment, but we are so excited to have somebody who, if you were to ask me, who do you know in your community who is the biggest advocate, the biggest adversary, who is a community ambassador, the name Caitlin Osmussen immediately pops into my brain. And Fauna, you and I have had the distinct pleasure of working with Caitlin over the years in a variety of different roles. Caitlin has worked with several nonprofits in the community. She also did a community development role with the local municipality, with the town of High River, and continues as a mom now with a toddler and a baby, still being very vocal in her community. Would you say so? Yeah. I would say so. Welcome, Caitlin, to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, for a long time, it was just actually Community Caitlin. Like, that was your name. It wasn't Caitlin alone. It's wonderful to have
Jody
you here.
Jody graced me with that name when I was working for the Museum of the Highwood, I think.
I think so. It was back in my radio day, and you just became like this character on the show, and Community Caitlin would come in and let us know everything that was happening in the community, and it just stuck. And an interesting shift, I guess, for you in life, and now having a toddler and a baby, sticking into community becomes a little bit more challenging.
Yeah. Yeah. Since I left my role with the municipality as a community development worker to have my first baby, I've just been at home and focused on that. But it's interesting because, like, I see so many mirrors between raising a family and, like, community work. And my background is actually in early childhood education and development. Like, that's what I went to college for. But somehow I, like, got into community work in my job. And so, like, I've always seen sort of the parallels between those two things. And so, you know, I'm not out in the community as much as I used to be, but I'm doing my work at home.
When we were thinking of, like, who else could we have cool conversations about community with, Fauna and I both wanted to connect with you because you have such, and I don't know if we could ever capture it in a 20-minute podcast, probably not, but you have such a love and a deep appreciation for community, but you also know a lot of the research and the science behind the importance of community. And so I would love you to share a bit about even just some of the things you've learned from your work, from your training, from things that you've been a part of over the years of why there's such a value on social connection and community.
Well, for me, what sort of drew me into community work wasn't necessarily the passion for, like, communities in general. It was my love for my own community because, like, I was born and raised in High River, and my mom also grew up in High River, and my dad also grew up in High River. So, like, from a really young age, there was just always people around me that knew me and knew my parents and had, like, a vested interest in me succeeding as a human, even though maybe we weren't super closely connected. There was just, it just always felt like there was a supportive community around raising me up. And so after, like, the flood happened in High River in 2013, I felt so called to do something to give back to the community. And so that's where I sort of started doing community development more professionally. I had always sort of been involved in community in other ways, just through, like, volunteering and that sort of thing. But when I first got into community work professionally, it was just, I was kind of like, I don't know anything about this. But the community taught me about it. And sort of like the main thing that has always been my guiding factor in community work is relationship building. It is the number one thing because you, and I think it's like, it doesn't just speak to like our little communities that we live in. It's the world as a whole. You know, we're so divided right now.
Well, I was just going to ask you, what comes to me, Caitlin, is why does it matter? Why does community matter?
I don't know. I feel like community matters because social connections are the reason that the human race has survived as long as it has. You know, like in our modern society, we're so disconnected from each other. Even though we're like connected through technology and stuff like that, our communities are more disconnected physically and, you know, through a pandemic on top of that too. But like compared to how humans have evolved in societies, we just don't have that same type of support anymore that we used to. And especially even like if you look at like nuclear families and that sort of thing, like how we're expected to raise our children by ourselves in that little pod in your own home, or, you know, you might have a few people in your extended family that help you out. But traditionally that's not how people were, you know, people were living together in groups. And that's the reason why humans have come as far as we have. And I feel like technology has like sort of started to replace those human connections. And then you throw this pandemic on top of it and it's just exacerbated.
When you were talking before, Caitlin, I was thinking about when you grew up, it's home. Home was so much bigger than your house. It was like all the entire town and all the people. So now with the pandemic, it's like spending all your time in just one, instead of being in the house, you're just in the bathroom.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And like we don't have the same level of support that we've had even before this. You know, we might have been moving towards that disconnection, but I feel like this pandemic has just sped it up and people have just been so much more isolated. And yeah, like you just wonder what the impact of that is, because our communities, if communities become fractured, I think there's going to be consequences to that, because that's not how humans are made to survive. We're social beings.
But I think that, you know, if I ride the Jim Deere's high of our last episode, and the interesting perspective that he would bring to it is that I feel like his response in this would be that it's bringing attention to it. So maybe we were going down path where we would have this technological disconnect. And now we've had this opportunity completely out of our control to really highlight that. So I agree with you in that I wonder the long-term effects, but I also feel really hopeful in that people have really felt that and they've felt it passionately. And I think once we're able to be back in that way we were before in a totally different way, which I think will be a good thing, is that people value that. And like, there's so many things we took for granted before.
Yeah. It's like we've seen the other side of the coin and nobody seems to like it. So maybe it's, you know, like maybe it is just the thing we needed in order to recognize the value of human connection.
You were talking before we went on about how this trauma, you know, kind of the three of us went through that disaster in High River in 2013, and how some things are the same. And I was thinking about that. I wonder if there's going to be a reflexive connection after this. And I'm curious, Caitlin, what's going to be the first thing you do when all of this is over? What's the first community thing you're going to do?
I don't know. Can we resurrect the block party trailer?
I think so.
I just think of like all our big community celebrations that we've missed this year. Like, I'll look forward to that. Canada Day celebrations and Santa Claus parades. And, you know, let's just throw a party in the street. How about that? Would be my ideal situation.
Yeah, just Monday. It's Monday.
Yeah, it's my street party day. Oh, I totally agree.
I was reading somewhere that after the Spanish flu, when people were allowed out, it was like the roaring 20s, right? Like people just were so much into like that social connection, like getting out, the parties. And so maybe we'll also have that happen after the COVID.
It is the 2020s. So we can, 20s it is.
Can we bring back the flapper dresses also?
Yes.
Yeah, I vote for that.
I think really people will wear whatever they will be so excited to wear real clothes again and combing and washing your hair on a regular basis. You know, the things that we take for granted. I think that would be fantastic. Now, I'm curious your take on, because I know we've had conversation before, and the fact that you've worked both within a government organization and outside of. And so traditionally, if we look back at history of community building, community did the things, right? If somebody needed a barn, or if somebody needed an addition to their business, or the museum needed to be built. Yeah, people just came into town and built it. And they just did it. And then we did this shift where government really took over. And you and I have had many passionate conversations about community taking our world back over. And we've had an interesting experience through the pandemic of government-led initiatives, good, bad, or otherwise. Like, I'm not here to criticize what that looks like, but just what government control can really feel like. And where I think we've seen, or people have imagined, the worst case scenario of what government taking over could look like. And so I'm wondering if there's a stir, if you feel that stir inside yourself also of what that's been like with both of those perspectives.
Yeah, I think, like you said, historically communities have done lots of the work for communities. And in recent years, government have started to take over a lot of that. And so I think there's a middle ground. Like, I'm not anti-government. By any stretch. But I do think that citizens do citizen work the best. The people closest to the problems have the best solutions to the problems. So sometimes, especially when it's things to do with looking after communities do that the best. And I do think that maybe people are starting to see the value of that a little bit more because, like you said, there's just with the situation that we're in, the government has had to take on more strict control, I guess. I don't really like that word because I do think it's for our health and well-being for the most part. But again, like, because when people are further away from what is the lived experience of the actual people in a community, they maybe don't understand the full impact of decisions on individual communities and individual people. So that's why I think communities and citizens look after their communities in the best way. And sometimes we just need like the government to like get out of the way a little bit more so that we can do those things. And I also think that it's sort of been like this self-fulfilling prophecy where governments have taken over some of these duties or activities that communities and citizens used to do. Then they wonder why they've created customers instead of citizens. And so then you have that phenomenon where like people in communities expect governments to do the work of communities, and governments say, well, that's not our job. It's kind of like a, which came first, right? Yeah.
Totally.
I do think there's some middle grounds that we can get to though. We just have to claw back a little bit of our job.
Well, and I think that's when it comes to, like you were talking about before, the importance of relationship building. I think that happens between government and citizen as much as it happens between citizen to citizen, or, you know, community to business and business to community, and vice versa. It's all that piece. And that will be an interesting challenge, I think, too, coming out of leading out of pandemic life.
Yeah. When I worked in community development, I was kind of saw myself as a bridge builder between all those things, right? You almost kind of do need people in your community that understand that dynamic and can help build those bridges between government and business and citizens and nonprofits so that these entities aren't working in silos. Because it's so easy for us to look at, from a citizen perspective, to look at a government and think, oh, they don't understand, like they're not doing what's best for us. Those people aren't making the right decisions. And then it's like also easy to sit on the other side of that and think, oh, my community is ungrateful for the work I'm doing as a mayor or as a counselor or as a staff person. And it's like, you do need to just kind of like sometimes break down those walls and see that like we're all people that are trying our best to do what we think is best for each other and ourselves and our families and our communities as a whole. Yeah, it's just like sometimes breaking down those bridges. And that's all done through relationship building and trust building.
Yeah, I think we penciled Caitlin back in for another show closer to our municipal election later this year, just so we can remind people of these great little points. It's good. So when it comes to community building during now, and I think you have an interesting perspective as being a mom home with a toddler and a baby, that's traditionally a really isolating sort of time frame in life when you're raising your kids. But on top of this, do you have any thought on how people can work on some of those connections? Do you see any solutions or ideas that people could do during this?
Oh gosh, I don't know. I don't know if I see solutions because I feel like I'm in the thick of it right now.
Yeah.
It's been a weird experience for me because I'm quite an extroverted person. And like you say, motherhood, and especially like those really early years, like my kids are only 3 and 4 months old. So it was like really, really early years when you have tiny kids and it's really hard to get out of the house and it's really hard to make those connections anyways. And then you like throw pandemic life on top of it. And it's really made me realize how it makes you vulnerable when you're socially isolated. And then when you throw on top of that a pandemic that is creating more social isolation, it's our most vulnerable, socially isolated folks they're getting the brunt of this, right? Like I am not leaving my house to go to work every day. And, you know, like our seniors, I think of our seniors that they can't go to the Friendship Center anymore. And, you know, they might have one or two people that are in their little cohort that they can see, but it's definitely been such a weird time. And I'm thankful for stuff that you do, Jody. Having your like coffee show and like the things that you do on social media, I think that brings so much value, especially in this time. It brought value before to people that were maybe feeling a little disconnected from their community, but now I think it's been people's lifeline for sure. Yeah, I don't know what the solution is. Vaccines, I guess.
Well, and just even maybe a public service reminder to check in on the moms. Because I think, to me, I think, oh, she's probably busy and I don't know when the baby's sleeping, or right, people just come up with reasons why they shouldn't maybe check in because they think you're so, you just think moms are so busy. And then we need to remember to go, no, they're busy with wee ones, but they're not busy with connections. So we need to text your mom friends right now and just check on them. Make sure they're
text
okay.
Text your mom friends. Text your senior friends. Yeah. Text your, well, maybe they don't text. I don't know. Yeah. Pick up the phone.
Drop off
like a drive-by honk at someone.
Megaphones. That's what we need to get. Megaphones.
For sure. I was going to say, I saw this quote the other day that from this lady I follow on Instagram. Her name is Lovey. I don't know. She's like a speaker and she's a professional troublemaker. That's what she called herself. She's really cool. Anyways, I saw this quote that she posted on her Instagram that was like, check on your strong friends so that they can lie to you about how great they're doing. I was like, 100%, that is me. Like, sometimes I feel like I'm drowning, but if you ask me how I am, I'm like, oh, I'm okay. Like, we're doing all right. So I think that also speaks to like those trusting relationships. I feel comfortable telling you guys that I'm struggling a little bit with the social isolation, but like I might not feel that comfortable telling someone else. So I think it's important that if we want to look after each other, we have to know each other well enough to be able to figure out when someone might need a hand or a call or a text or something like that.
Yeah, I think that active trust building, Caitlin, like purposefully, intentionally building relationship and taking ownership of that or some control in this time when we have no control, it's actually like one of those things that it's proven to help our mental health so much, just helping someone else out. And it doesn't mean you have to give them $1,000. It can just be, how are you really? How are you really?
Yeah.
How's your five, man? That's what
How's your more. Five? One of my other favorite community campaigns. How's your five?
Yeah. Ours too. Anything else you wanted to touch on, Fauna?
No, just how about you, Caitlin? Anything, any kind of final things that just come to your mind around community and citizen engagement and anything at all, really, because we just love your wisdom.
I don't know. I think maybe like final thoughts are just that lately things can feel like everything is out of our control. And we just maybe need to remember that we do have the ability to affect change in our communities. But we have to take ownership over it and we have to step up and take action. We can't just sit idly by and like watch things happen in our communities that we care about and not get involved. And I think that especially right now, it feels like we can't have any impact, but we can in little ways. Like you said, of checking on your neighbor, you know, I remember at the beginning of the pandemic, like when people were ninjaing each other, dropping things off on each other's doorsteps. I thought that was such a powerful act of community. So cool. So it's like little things like that. And I think we're on pandemic burnout right now. So maybe people have gotten sort of stuck in that isolated worldview, but we're all in it together.
All right. Well, we appreciate you so much taking time and sharing with us just your passion of community and reminding us of so many great things of that. I love your final thoughts of that we can do things. We can. And we can be really creative about what those things are. And that's where the fun piece of this is going to come into play, that we have this honestly like creative abundance that is ours. Let's just grab onto it and see what happens. We're all in it in a fun way together or something. We need to come up with a new way of saying it, but agree and appreciate
it. I mean, I can sing it from like High School Musical. That's what comes to mind.